We came to a conclusion in chapter 4 last week, where there's this magnificent scene in heaven around the throne, where the elders and the living creatures are worshiping God. Verse 8, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. Verse 11, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they exist and were created. So they're giving God the glory due his name because of who he is and, of course, the work of creation that he has done. This is being brought out because God is now going to move into a creation that has rebelled against him, ignored him, rejected him. And so chapter 5, I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a book written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. We're now introduced to the first series of judgments in the book of Revelation. We will learn about the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, series of seven judgments that take place on the earth. This book that needs to be opened, this book that is determined to be unveiled, related to seven seals, which you'll see are seven judgments, is a title deed. It was used of a title deed of ownership. What is the title deed to? Well, the judgments are coming on the earth, as you'll see it unfold. So through the Lamb, the lion, there will be a reclaiming of that which Adam gave away, the title deed to the earth. This reclaiming of the earth through the judgments is where God will lay claim to that which he created through the one who is worthy. The reason why nobody else is worthy is nobody else meets the divine standard. Of course, we're all sinful, redeemed people. And so he's looking for one who was worthy. Now, to understand this aspect of the seals, I want to refer to St. John chapter 5. And I want to read verse 22 and verse 27. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, verse 27, and he gave him, the Father gave the Son, authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. So God the Father gave God the Son, because he is the Son of Man, he's human and divine, of course, the right to judge. The seals are the first series of judgment. So when they were looking for somebody worthy to judge, Jesus had to do that because Jesus is the one authorized by the Father to carry out the judgment. So they're looking for one worthy to bring judgment on the earth for the purpose of reclaiming the earth for its intended purpose when it was created and then renovated by God himself. And so it was the lion That is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David. So he's came through Israel, who has overcome to open the book. And I saw, verse 6, between the throne with the four creatures and the elders, a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Please notice the contrast in verses 5 and 6. In verse 5, he's a lion. In verse 6, he's a lamb. Because he's both. The lion, he's king. The lamb, he's the savior. He says, I saw the lion and he was the lamb. Because the king, by virtue of his work of salvation, has been duly authorized, having completed, the word seven, all that he needed to do, scripture calls it fulfilled all righteousness, is qualified to bring judgment on the earth for the purposes of reclaiming the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And so what you have is the prayers being answered for vindication in history. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you. You notice there's a lot of worthy in Revelation. Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. Now, you see this a number of times in the book of Revelation. People from all these different backgrounds, tribes, kindreds, tongues. Just in case you didn't know it, we've said it a number of times, who you are now will be who you will be then, only without flaws. So he's looking up there. Praise God for the removal of the flaws. So if you're Anglo now, you're going to be Anglo then. If you're Chinese now, you're going to be Chinese then. If you're black now, you're going to be black then. So stop trying to switch. John is seeing people from every nation, every tribe, every kindred, and every tongue. So you will be who you are, only without flaws. So you get your hair back, you get you're not overweight, basically you're like Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, which was perfect adult humanity. And so he sees all of this. You have made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. So your future, my future, our future is to reign upon the earth. Now we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that in the book of Revelation when we get further, deeper into the book, when we get to the millennial kingdom and the reign of Jesus Christ and how we will reign with him. But you were redeemed to reign. So then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creature and the elders, and the number of them myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb, here we go again, that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and the sea and the things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be blessing and honor. You've heard that song. And glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. When you and I get the glory, you won't have to be prodded to worship. You will not help it, because the environment will be so electric. When you see who he is, when you see a lion and a lamb, worship. That's why I've said Revelation is fundamentally a book about worship. Well, beginning in chapter 6, we now see the seals begin to be unveiled. the first series of judgments. The book has been opened and the seal. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, "Come." It's going to be interesting hearing those angels. I looked and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. What's missing? Arrow. There's a bow, but there's no arrow. The first horse, the first judgment, which is beginning the time of tribulation. The rapture has occurred. Christians have been taken to heaven, worshiping God around the throne. And now it's the time of tribulation. Tribulation is a 7-year period that comes after the rapture of the church, where God brings judgment to the earth in order to reclaim it. The first series of judgments are the seals. When the Antichrist comes, he will insert himself into the world, claiming victory, because he has the crown, as the future world leader in order to bring order out of chaos. Since there is no arrow, it will be a bloodless coup. This person will arise as a world dominant individual to bring order to the chaos that will naturally have occurred when the rapture occurs. That's all kind of chaos in addition to the normal chaos. And he will be so eloquent and powerful that he will come with strength, a bow. He will come with recognition and substance and significance, a crown, but no arrow. So it will be a bloodless takeover of world power. This is the first horse. Now this brings in the whole book of Daniel, which we'll get into later, but the tribulation will begin with a sense of peace. False peace, but nevertheless that sense. The second seal, verses 3 and 4. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." And another, a red horse, went out. And to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. Okay, so in the white horse, and a white horse symbolized victory, you know, the white horse was victory. So there's peace, bloodless coup, followed by chaos. So it'll start off, everything's looking good, then things are going to devolve quickly into chaos and people slaying people at will. It will be a chaotic environment that will bring conflict. The Antichrist is going to switch from being a seemingly peaceful person to one with a great sword. Now he's wielding a sword. So he's now moved from pretending to be peaceful, like Hitler came across that way early on, to being a slayer of men. And so things are going to devolve into social chaos and social conflict. So that's the second seal that's open. The third seal. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." Look at this. I looked and behold a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine." A denarius is a day's wage. In Roman finances, a denarius was like 16 cents, which was like a day's wage. He says, when chaos breaks out, there will be economic instability so bad that it will take a day's wage to buy a quart of wheat. It will take a day's wage to buy 3 quarts of barley. In other words, inflation run crazy. That things will be so unstable and the world will be so out of whack and so much conflict and so much inflation that your little money won't mean much. Now, this is going to become very important as we go through the book of Revelation, because what we were going to see is the Antichrist take over the economic order of the world. Okay, he's going to rise to not only political power, but economic power as well. We'll see that. So you see the progression, the third seal. The fourth seal, verse 7 and 8. And when the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. I looked, and behold, an Asian horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death. And Hades were following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beast of the earth. This fourth seal is a doozy, because this is a pale, that color means pale. It's a pale horse who brings in the aftermath of social conflict and famine due to high inflation and all of that. And he brings to the earth death to one fourth of the earth. That's almost 2 billion people who will die at the fourth seal. Almost 2 billion people will die. Given we're getting close to 8 billion people on planet Earth now. So death is this seal. Verse 9 through 11, the fifth seal. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. In other words, there is a prayer meeting going on in heaven. And the question of those who are there who have been slain because they would not follow the Antichrist is, how long before you bring justice and judgment to the unrighteous who are doing this? God tells them, hold on, because I'm going to wait till I finish with all that's taking place here to really unleash. So he hadn't gotten started yet. So this thing, what you see here, is nothing. God is going to allow things to disintegrate. Why is this a seal? Because all the other seals that have been opened, people were not involved with it. In other words, people were not involved in making it happen. On this seal, God is responding to people who are calling for justice. There's a great principle here is, even though you don't see justice right now, even though it's not fair right now, he tells them, hold on, I miss nothing. He says, let me complete what I'm doing, and there will be complete justice on the earth. The sixth seal. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as a fig tree casts its unripe fruit when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of their place. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the cave and among the rocks and the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be here. He says, in the sixth seal, there's going to be the disruption of nature. Earthquakes so violent, mountains are going to crash. You're going to have volcanoes going everywhere, creating ash that blocks out the light of the sun. You're going to have people running for their lives. But notice something. People running for their lives. They're telling the rocks to fall on them from the presence of him who sits on the throne. That means they know they're under judgment. You would think, if I know I'm under judgment, I'm going to call for help, mercy, deliverance, salvation. But in this context, so many people's hearts will have been hardened toward God that they would rather commit suicide than get saved. That's how hard the hearts of many will be during this season of the sixth seal, recognizing that they're in the great day of the wrath of God. So when we hit the sixth seal, we are now in the middle of the tribulation. The tribulation is 7 years. So we're like 3.5 years in now. Because he calls it the great day. Jesus called it the great tribulation. So for 3.5 years, there's tribulation. When you hit this seal, you're in the great tribulation. So now it's trouble. One of the Old Testament words for this period is the time of Jacob's trouble. The world is now under judgment because God is going to reclaim it. Many people are getting saved because you see they're martyrs here. But he's talking about those who are still rebelling, even though they know they're under judgment. And so you're now 3.5 years in. Now, when we go through Revelation, he's going to back up and talk about some of the personalities here. Right now, he's just talking about the sequence of judgments. He comes to chapter 7, and chapter 7 is an interlude. Why? Because he doesn't get to the seventh seal until chapter 8. So there is this gap between seal 6 and seal 7, and it's in chapter 7. Let's look at it. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. Now, I know that sounds like sci-fi, but since God controls the weather, so you've got the four directions, north, south, east, west, and God is holding back weather patterns. So he's holding back weather patterns so no wind is blowing. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, because you can't function without wind, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. Now, don't do any more damage yet, because we have to seal some people. He says, don't do any more damage until I seal this group on their forehead. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. The 144,000 are Jews from every tribe of Israel. So this is not general population. This is specific Jews. Now, why? The Old Testament prophesied that the Jews would be the light to the world. But they rejected Messiah. They were not the light to the world. However, when God picks things back up in the tribulation, they're going to become the light to the world. And he will seal, that is, lay claim to, ownership of, and protect 144,000 evangelists, if you will, who are going to be his witnesses in the tribulation. They have to be sealed, that is, under God's ownership and protection. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, all tribes, people, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Another worship. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and four creatures. And they fell to their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, these who are clothed in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. So we're now 3.5 years in. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So these are the people who get saved in the tribulation. These are the people who accept Christ in the tribulation due to the witness of the 144,000. So the 144,000 will lead a multitude of Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles, but mainly Gentiles, to Jesus Christ, who will get saved during this time of tribulation. So what God wants you to know before he hits the seventh seal is that there is a lot of evangelism going on in the middle of this crisis of judgment. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they are to serve him day and night in the temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them, and they will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to spring of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye. So here is a time of victory, evangelism, and witness as an interlude, which leads into chapter 8. We'll talk a little bit about chapter 8 here. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So the seven seals open and nothing for 30 minutes. We got a commercial break. Whenever there's a commercial break, before I unleash this, does anybody have anything to say? Is there any repentance? You'll see this come up again. Is there any, okay, before I let this go, have you had enough? Some have, because in chapter 7, many get saved. But now I'm getting ready, I'm going to open this thing up. So you got 30 minutes. Because it don't take that long. Okay, if you're serious, you can repent real quick. Okay? So you got 30 minutes. I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. Okay, so remember we had saints praying, right? So this incense, which was putting the coals on the altar, illustrating sending up prayers. You got 30 minutes before I answer these folk prayers. So that there's the link. Smoke arises with the prayers of the saints. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and threw it on the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes and lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. So, what is the seventh seal? The seventh seal is the seven trumpets. In other words, when he gets to the seventh seal, he's opening up a whole new series of seven. So embedded in the seven seals are the seven trumpets, or the new round of wrath with a 30-minute break. So when you get to this seventh, you done opened up a whole new round because the trumpets are in the seventh seal. And so now that this is opened up, they prepare themselves. We'll look at a couple of these. The first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burnt up, and a third of the trees were burnt up. You think them fires in California or something? And all the green grass was burnt up. So you now have a firestorm that affects a third of the whole planet. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. So that means that there is a scorching taking place of all the fish, a third of the sea. Do you know a third of the sea? That's a lot of water. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third of the ships were destroyed because of this a firestorm from heaven that obliterates a third of the earth. The third angel sounded, and a great star, meteor, asteroid, or something, fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. You know, you see some of these movies where they're trying to, this thing is getting ready to fall, and they talk about the damage that something that big, when it hits, would cause throughout the earth. This is exactly what he's describing here. The name of the star is called Wormwood. The word wormwood means bitter. A third of the waters became wormwood, bitter. You couldn't do anything with them, use them, anything. And many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. We'll finish 12 and 13, verse 12 and 13. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun and a third of the moon and a third of the stars were struck, so that a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. So time has been now thrown off, like you're living in Alaska or something. Your night and day is no longer operating as you normally know it. Then I looked and heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." In other words, you think this is something? We got three more that's a beast because of their refusal to respond to God. Now, already what we've talked about is horrific. I mean, it's horrific. All of this is God's renovating process to purify the earth and reclaim it. To do so, he must rid it of evil. He must rid it of evil. And while it is harsh, it is only harsh because of a refusal by men to respond to God. They will have a witness. They will have all these judgments to give them. They will get a window of opportunity, and yet there will be a refusal. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. Okay, here's what I want to say. There are two sides to God. There are probably two sides to you as a parent. Huh? You love your children. I know you love them. But let them get on your nerves long enough. There are two sides to God. Now, we talk about the side we like. Love, grace, mercy, all that. And he is all of that. In fact, that is the side he prefers. But that's not the only side he has. He has a severe side. Now you can say, I don't like it, I don't prefer it, but you don't get to choose that. That's outside of your choice. The death of Jesus Christ has freed God up. When God poured out his wrath on Christ, for us to see his good side. We see the dominance of his good side. Right now, when you see all the evil in the world, you're seeing God's passive wrath, not his active wrath. It's a big difference. His passive wrath, Romans 1 says, is when he turns you over to the consequences of your own choices. So it's wrath, but it's not fire coming down from heaven wrath. It's like that kid that says, you know, well, I want to leave. And you just let them leave. And let them have the consequence of their choice. That's passive wrath. But the death of Christ has freed God up from active wrath. But once the tribulation period hits, you now flip and you see how serious God can be. Because now it is his active Sodom and Gomorrah wrath where he is directly intervening in the affairs of men for judgment. So there are two sides to God. Grace is an invitation to be on his good side. Even Paul said, knowing the fear of God, we persuade men. Heaven is God's good side. Hell is his bad side. Bad side meaning his side of just wrath. The tribulation period is this time of reclaiming the earth and fulfilling his promises to Israel. Israel is the center of all of this. There's a lot to that, but Israel is the center, which is why there's never any peace over there. And God did something that has never happened in human history. I'll just throw this out. It's never happened in human history. And only God could do it. A people, a nation, stopped being a nation because Israel was dispersed all over the world. God says, I will regather you. God predicted, I'm going to scatter you, but I'm going to regather you. In May 1948, Israel came back together as a nation, never having lost its language. That's never happened in human history. Where a nation stopped being a nation, came back as a nation to their same property without losing their language, even though they were dispersed worldwide. It's never happened before. But God says, I'm going to bring you back together to the four corners of the earth. And when you see Revelation unfold, you will see God now keep his promise he made to Abraham way back in the Old Testament. So this is a story here. And right now we're in the middle of the tribulation, and we'll see how this unfolds as we go along.